Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I'm an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line, in Los Angeles, is the three of a kind to my royal flush, Keith Caulfield. How's it going, Keith?
I'm swell, but not as good as you after Louis Tomlinson just retweeted you.
Wow, my day is
week.
Made.
Week has been made.
My month has been made. Thanks for the love, Louis. That was cool.
It's the little things.
It's the little things in life. So, Keith, how's it going, man? How are you doing? Welcome to the Pop Shop Podcast.
Jason's having a hard time. He just was so excited before the show started. He was like, oh my God, Louis just retweeted
That's not even... I was very casual. I was like, oh, look at that.
He's full of it. He like actually got it. He's like, oh, hold on. I got to go out and notify people.
I have to scream it from the rooftops.
Come on. It's a big deal when Louis Tomlinson from One Direction retweets you.
Yeah.
It's a big Pop Shop moment, I think. It's a pop-tacular moment.
Maybe I'm going to tweet him and be like, hey, come on the Pop Shop podcast. We'll get you on.
We'll talk about No Control.
And subscribe to the show on iTunes and
You
whatnot.
Should do that right now while he's still like on Twitter. He only did it 10 minutes ago. You should do it right now while we're talking about it. Saying, hey, Louis, why don't you come on to the Billboard Pop Shop podcast? We can talk about No Control and how it could be the song of the summer. Hey?
Well, that's a perfect segue into the Pop Shop Podcast 2015 Song of the Summer show. That's right. Today is... I know. Yeah, sing that song, man. So this is actually the second Pop Shop Podcast of this week, thanks to those who listened to our Billboard Music Awards recap that we posted on Monday. If you haven't listened to that and you want to hear us talk about the Billboard Music Awards, which
listen to the first 20 minutes of it. And then after that, you can...
We got a little tired. We got a little overtired and a little goofy. But that's okay. So... thanks again to those who streamed and downloaded and commented. We appreciate all that. And it's on iTunes. It's on Billboard.com right now if you missed it. Today, Keith, like I said, we are going to be talking a little bit about the charts. We're going to start with that, the Billboard 200 and the Hot 100, go through some soon-to-be hits. But then we are going to end the show with the songs of the summer. I mean, so what I asked Keith to do is...
And I hate doing this sort of thing, but it's great.
What I did was we made a list of the five songs that we think are going to be the top five of the Songs of the Summer chart at the end of the summer. Basically, the five songs that are going to rule the summer and, you know, I guess the probability of what will be number one, number two, number three. We talked about all that.
You said, because I asked him repeatedly, I said, so this is supposed to be what we think will be on our official Songs of the Summer chart we release announce the Songs of the Summer chart. We compile it on a weekly basis starting, I think, next week.
Yeah.
And then we run it all the way through, I think, Labor Day.
Exactly.
And that's when we coronate the Song of the Summer champion. And it's basically based on Hot 100 performance each week. So I was looking at it from sort of a mathematical point of view, and Jason might be looking at it from a slightly different point of view. So it could be interesting to see how our rankings line up. And you also wanted me to have three alternates, right? Like three runners up to the top.
Yeah, we have some honorable
mentions. Which I actually managed
to
do.
Nice, man. No, yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun because, like you just said, you're going from the charts perspective, and it's not like my picks are like, oh, these are the songs I'm going to be listening to.
I think Two Live Crew is going to come back and have a really big summer.
I think that I Love You Poppy, which should have been the song of last summer, is going to be the song of this summer.
That can be the song of every summer. Just the video.
Seriously.
Let's just talk about the video.
But no, this This is my picks are chart based. I think that these songs are going to be the songs that rule our summer, just in terms of the sound of them, just instinct, like everything that I'm seeing in terms of the charts. And obviously I'm not as steeped in it as you are, but yeah, man, I'm excited to get to that. But before we do, a couple quick housekeeping notes. As always, if you like the Pop Shop Podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes. That way you never, ever, ever miss an episode. Give us a rating or review in iTunes. We always appreciate that. And if you have any questions or comments for us, hit us up on Twitter. He is at Keith_Caulfield. I am at Jason Lipschutz. Keith, are you ready to rock and roll?
Sure.
Wow. Oh, what was that?
When you said rock and roll, it made me think of, okay, obscure aside, the CNC Music Factory single.
Yeah.
Here we go. You know, let's rock and roll, that song. It's called Here We Go, I think. I think it was like the third or fourth single from the CNC Music Factory first album. And totally random, last weekend I moderated a panel at RuPaul's Drag Con.
Yeah.
And drag convention. It was the first one of her its kind at the LA Convention Center. So this is like no joke. And I guess like 15,000 people showed up. So it's kind of crazy. I moderated a panel that featured the first ladies of disco, Linda Clifford, and Martha Wash. And Martha Wash, of course, is the voice behind Everybody Dance Now, which is a CNC Music Factory song. So when you said, here we go, let's rock and roll, or when you said, let's rock and roll, it made me think of CNC Music Factory and how I actually got to meet and talk to Martha Wash last weekend. Random. There you go. Pop.
That must have been really fun for you, though.
No, it was. It was because I love Drag Race and I love RuPaul and I love all that stuff. But at the same time, like getting to moderate a panel where Martha Wash, who is the voice of the entire Black Box album, essentially, with everybody, all that stuff. CNC Mix Factory is going to make you sweat. Seductions hit You're My One and Only True Love. Of course, It's Raining Men. She backed Sylvester in the 70s. She has her own dance hits. Did you know that she did background vocals for Bob Seger's Like a Rock, I think, in the 80s?
I did not know that.
Yeah, like her and the other woman, Idora, I forget her name, I apologize, from the Weather Girls, both did background vocals on Like a Rock.
I just want to point out that this segue has happened because I said the phrase rock and roll.
Well, I think it was the way you said it. Are you ready to rock and roll?
Pretty common phrase.
I look for a segue any way I can get one.
Basically. Yeah. All right, man. So let's very quickly, very, very, very quickly, because I want to get to Songs of the Summer stuff, talk about the Billboard 200 albums chart where the Pitch Perfect 2 soundtrack is number one in its first week. Another soundtrack at number one. And Keith, let's just talk about this for a second. Did you foresee this happening? I mean, the original soundtrack of Pitch Perfect became a success. The Pitch Perfect 2 movie has been a huge hit at the box office. But what'd you think of this debut, man?
Well, I had always assumed that it was going to be a significant debut. But then Billboard wrote a story like 2 weeks ago Billboard Magazine wrote a story that effectively poo-pooed how Pitch Perfect 2 was getting, its possibilities on the charts and ooh, things were looking kind of dicey. I'm like, really? Okay. But it was one of those things where you couldn't really forecast how the album was going to do until the movie actually gets into theaters, because soundtracks depend on how the film that it corresponds to resonates with audiences, especially ones that are very heavy in music, like a Pitch Perfect movie. So I wasn't terribly surprised. I'm delighted because I enjoy the Pitch Perfect movies, and I think they're the kinds of musical movies that do really well in terms of sort of conveying themselves into an album form. And also the success of Pitch Perfect, the first one, was just so crazy and unexpected, and how Cups, the Anna Kendrick song from the film, became such a fluke hit. I think it was so cool to see the success of that movie and the album. The album did more than a million copies. Cups has sold more than like 2 million downloads. It's a top 10 hit. Crazy. So now for Pitch Perfect 2 to debut at number one on the Billboard 200 is pretty cool and incredible. And it gives us our third number one soundtrack in 2015 alone, which is pretty crazy. It's the most soundtracks we've had at number one in a year, in a calendar year, since 2010.
Yeah, and it's funny because when Furious 7 was number one, we started talking about, oh, well, you know, Pitch Perfect 2 could be the next one to hit number one. Do you see any songs from this soundtrack breaking out?
You're going to say, which one's going to break out? I feel like I should be like more having a conversation with you, because like when we were on the couch together at the BBMAs.
I know, man. I miss looking at your face, that perfect beard.
Thanks. There's other, you know, because we're in different offices and different coasts, and we're talking over the phone through microphones, there's always that pause that I have where I don't want to talk over you because I'm afraid, blah, 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 because we can't see each other. We don't know when we're going to start talking. That said, I knew that you were going to ask me, well, what could be the hit single? Flashlight, because Flashlight plays an important role in the film. It's a song by Jesse J, and it's kind of a thematic, it's a recurring thematic element in the movie. And so I think they're trying to position it as like the next Cups, but I, you know, nothing's going to ever be what Cups was, because that was such a unique and sort of random, out of this world hit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just another instance of a major motion picture using music in such a unique way that it resonates with its audience. I mean, you look what See You Again is doing, still number one on the Hot 100. People tie it. It's so evocative and makes people think of the end of Furious 7, a movie that's been an unbelievable success. And now you have this Flashlight song that makes people think of a critical moment in Pitch Perfect 2. So,
yep.
Anyway, I wanted to make a note of just a quick follow-up on the Billboard 200 albums chart. Mumford & Sons' Wilder Mind is number two this week. So number one last week, number two this week. But it took a pretty steep tumble, and it just doesn't look like this album is going to get going in the way
the hateration is strong with Jason.
Sorry?
The hateration is strong with Jason.
It's not hateration. It's just noting that, I mean, this is, you know, it went from the third biggest album debut of the year. I mean, definitely a drop off from their 2012 debut, but still over 200,000 last week. But now it's already showing signs of, it was just kind of a 1 week phenomenon.
Right. So the album Wilder Mind goes from number one to number two on the Billboard 200. It did 58,000 units, which was down 77%. That is not a terribly unusually large drop for an album that had probably, kind of a built up, you know, first week, a lot of anticipation and a lot of pre-orders. Shawn Mendes's album had a much larger drop when it fell from number one. So this isn't like the biggest ever. But, you know, it is sort of a cause for concern. I explained in a magazine article last week in Billboard about slightly more effectively than what I said last week on the podcast about why Mumford & Sons' album sales in its first week for its new album weren't as big as it could have been. And it was basically saying, you know, how, you know, they had a lot of sort of sustained momentum going into Babel, their last album. And then Babel sold well, but the bulk of its sales came in like the first 6 months of its release. So really it was kind of highly front-loaded from basically all the people that they gained as fans during the run of Sigh No More, which was their first album. Because Sigh No More had a really long life, and it sustained itself. Like, it was in the top 100 on the Billboard 200 for a very long time. And they just kept collecting fans that all turned up like the first few months of Babel. And then Babel effectively just went away. And then now, you know, they're having to kind of regroup and, you know, kind of, they can't just sort of rely on all that Sigh No More buildup now anymore because they're too far away from that album. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it makes sense. I guess I just made a note of it because it's not, like you said, it's not an unusually steep drop for an artist debuting at number one, but it is an unusually steep drop for Mumford & Sons, especially seeing what Babel did in 2012.
Yep.
Anyway, let's go to over to the Hot 100 where See You Again, like I said, is still number one. Sixth week now, right?
Yeah.
So, a little lower on the Hot 100, Bad Blood by Taylor Swift. We talked about it after the Billboard Music Awards because the... Is that the song Bad Blood?
Yeah, that's me doing Bad Blood.
It's like the vocoder remix. I like that.
Bad Blood, or the sheep version. Bad Blood.
Taylor loves those goat versions of songs. So anyway, Bad Blood is back on the Hot 100 after its video debut. It's at number 53 right now. And Keith, I think it's safe to assume that this is going to bump up in the next week or so.
Yeah. Yeah, because the video premiered as it was the opening. It was the opener of the Billboard Music Awards last Sunday. So, you know, the surge that we're seeing on the chart this week for Bad Blood is owed to basically the excitement building up towards Bad Blood on Sunday, and then just the initial impact of it on Sunday night, just the first few hours of tracking. So we should see a huge surge next week. It could go into the top 10 for all we know. So yeah, it re-enters at number 53 this week. And by the way, we're crediting Kendrick Lamar now on the track. So it's Taylor Swift featuring Kendrick Lamar, because the song, the version that is getting the most points on our chart is the remix version that features Kendrick.
Makes sense. We will keep an eye on that one. Also debuting on the Hot 100 this week, Maroon 5 has a new song, Keith. It's at number 67 on the Hot 100.
That's right. This Summer's Gonna Hurt Like a Mother Effer. That is not the actual title of the song, but it's F star 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 R.
Oh, is that? I thought the title was This Summer's Gonna Hurt, but it's like, well, a mother effer.
I'm looking at our chart system right now. This Summer's Gonna Hurt Like a Mother F. Blank, 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 R. That's the dirty version. That's the explicit version. There's also a clean version where the summer's going to hurt, and I think they kind of, like a mother or something like that. Yeah, it's pretty explicit.
Yeah, and, you know, they're coming off of back-to-back-to-back top 10 hits, basically, from their 5 album.
So they're one to watch for possibly appearing on someone's Songs of the Summer list coming up later show.
Before we get to that, Keith, let us talk about a couple songs that are not in the top 10, not in the top 20. They're not even in the top 40, but they could be getting there soon on the Hot 100. This is a segment we like to call Soon to Be Hits.
I don't know why I do the Wheel of Fortune theme. That's the Wheel of Fortune theme.
I like that, though. That's great.
I think it's Jeopardy. It could be Jeopardy. I think it's Jeopardy. It's one of those evening game shows that are
If you know what Keith just sang, hit us up on Twitter. Yeah. He's at Keith_Caulfield.
Do you like what I just sang? Because I don't know what it is. Subscribe now.
All right, man. We got two soon-to-be hits, and I'll let you go first. I will defer to you.
So the first one is Ed Sheeran's Photograph. It debuts at number 92. On the Billboard Hot 100, it's the latest single and video for Ed. And if you haven't seen the video, you should really see it, because it's really effective and really great. Basically, it's home movies of Ed growing up, from a little baby Sheeran, to a stadium filling Ed Sheeran, you know, in recent months or years. And, you know, it tracks him growing up, you know, learning how to play instruments and singing in front of people. And it's just adorable and cute. And so, you know, some of the momentum is coming from the video. Certainly it premiered like a week and a half ago, I believe. But also it's just, you know, it's doing well otherwise. But, you know, certain oomph of it is coming from the video. Speaking of which, I actually asked Ed Sheeran about the video at the Billboard Music Awards. And I asked him if he, you know, got emotional or cried when he saw it. And he's like, nope, I don't. That's not me. But my manager did. My manager got, you know, emotional when he saw it.
You know, it's funny, because I was thinking about, I watched your interview with him, I guess yesterday. And I haven't actually seen
it back yet, so I have no idea if it
was stupid. I was thinking about it myself, and I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Like, I wouldn't look at old home movies at myself.
Get emotional.
And get I would just be like, there I am.
But I thought it was interesting that he didn't really have anything to do with it. Like, he said that his dad basically assembled it all together, or like found all the footage and he just sort of saw the finished product. Ed's sort of quiet unless you really get him going, I think. But I always enjoy speaking to him, and the video is really great. You should check it out. There you go. Photograph, debuts number 92.
Okay, my soon-to-be hit this week is from band 1,000 Horses. The song is called Smoke. It moves up two spots this week on the Hot 100 from 49 to 47. And this is a song that's been on the Hot Country Songs chart for over 4 months or so. It's now
random
in the top.
Jason's talking about country music.
Yeah, here we go, man. Putting on my hat.
Here we go.
It's now in the top 10 of the Hot Country Songs chart. And, you know, this is a band that's on Republic Nashville, their debut album is due out next month, June 9th, I believe. It's called Southernality. And You know, this song Smoke is just very sweet and catchy in a way that it reminds me of, remember the song 19 You and Me by Dan and Shay last year?
Nope.
It was a minor hit for Dan and Shay. A minor crossover hit. It was a major country hit. This song is doing really well. It's they performed it last week on the Today Show, so it might be one of those songs that, like Zac Brown Band's Homegrown, hits the top 40 on the Hot 100. Speaking of which, here's a fun fact about 1,000 Horses, Keith.
Okay.
They have a guitarist named Zac Brown, but it's spelled Z-A-C-H, not Z-A-C, like Zac Brown Band.
Mm.
Anyway, 1,000 Horses, Smoke, and Ed Sheeran Photograph on Soon to Be Hits. All right, man, it is finally time. It's time, man. Song of the Summer. I'm pumped. I'm excited. I look forward to this show.
Jason is always so much more excited over the Song of the Summer concept than I ever will be, ever.
I know, man. You're the Song of the Summer curmudgeon, and I'm the Song of the Summer enthusiast.
We can talk about this forever. Song of the Fall, Song of the Winter. Nope. It's just all about Song of the Summer.
Song of the May. Song of the May 21st. You never know.
So, yeah.
So, Keith, here's how we're going to do this. As I said at the top of the show, we're going to list a couple honorable mentions. These are songs that could be in the Songs of the Summer top 5, the top 10. They just seem like they have legs, but we don't think they're exactly going to be the song of the summer.
And also, by the way, we haven't seen each other's lists, so we could have the same songs on both of our lists.
We could.
It could be kind of interesting to see where they might pop up on each other's lists.
It's very true.
Yep.
Very, very true.
So I have three runners-up. Do you have three runners-up as well? So you have 8 in total?
Yes.
Cool.
And before we start naming them, then we're going to count down from 5 to 1, and we will end with the songs we think, it might be the same song, I don't know, the song or songs that we think will be number one song of the summer.
Okay.
So let's do it, man.
Okay.
Do you want to do your honorable mentions first?
Sure. I actually have those ranked as well, but.
Okay.
So my number 8, or my third runner-up, I guess, however you want to put it, is Rachel Platten's Fight Song.
Oh, interesting.
Which is getting off to a really good start right now. She performed the song at Good Morning America last week, I believe. And we mentioned her as a soon-to-be hits a week or two ago.
We did.
I think it has the right vibe for summer. It's sort of chanty, uplifting, and fun. So that is my third.
Kind of like a Brave, like a Sarah Bareilles.
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah.
Okay.
What's yours? What's your number 8?
Oh, okay. I didn't rank mine.
Okay. Well, then you can just I can just name all three of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. You do your three honorable.
We clearly haven't rehearsed this or anything. So my 7th is actually the OMI song Cheerleader.
Okay.
Or OMI.
It is OMI.
OMI.
It is OMI.
OMI. My OMI. Cheerleader. Because, you know, you can't go a summer without sort of a reggae light song topping the charts. Last year we had Magic. This year we've got OMI. And in fact, on the red carpet at the Billboard Awards, I asked Magic what could be their song of the summer. And I think they actually name checked the OMI song.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I think they mentioned, they're like, yeah, it's kind of like reggae-ish. And I'm like, fitting that you guys would talk about that. So yeah, that's my second one. And then my third one, closer to the top 5, which almost made it, was Andy Grammer's Honey, I'm Good, which is racing up the charts. And it's got that kind of summery, happy, uplifting sort of vibe to it. And I think it just is having a moment right now. I don't know if that moment is going to sustain itself for like 3 months, but I think it has a pretty decent shot of making a dent, possibly, on the Songs of Summer charts. So those are my top, my three runners-up, Rachel Platten, OMI, and Andy Grammer.
Okay. I also have Honey, I'm Good as a runner-up, an honorable mention, mainly for the reasons you just named. We ran into Andy Grammer
in Vegas. In
Vegas.
On the carpet, but also
in an elevator.
In
it's
an
funny
elevator.
Because so we did the Periscope, the Pop Shop Periscope, right after the show, and we ended the Periscope, and we're like, all right, we got to go upstairs to our producer's hotel suite and tape the Pop Shop podcast. And who do we get on the elevator with is Andy Grammer.
And we're like, we're not going to interview you, don't worry.
Yeah, but we had a lot of like podcast equipment out. So
we had microphones. Yeah, we had stuff in our hands.
He looked a little nervous, but he's a good dude. And Honey, I'm Good, I mean, it's already a top 20 hit. It just seems like this song has legs. I think it could definitely be in the top 10 songs of the summer chart. Also on my list, I have Jason Derulo, Want to Want Me. Another top 10 hit for him. I think this song definitely has legs. I think it's going to persevere throughout the summer. I just don't know if it's going to reach that next plateau of being like a top, like a number one hit or a sustained number one hit. It'll be interesting to see. I think that, you know, this Jason Derulo project, Everything Is Force, is coming out in a few weeks, and it has more momentum than any Jason Derulo album before it. Want to Want Me, people really like this song. I think, yeah, which is why I say it's an honorable mention. I think it'll be around the Songs of the Summer, maybe not in the top five, though.
Okay.
And then my last one is Worth It by Fifth Harmony, featuring Kid Ink.
Your girls, Fifth Harmony, you harmonizer, you.
Hey, it's an honorable mention. I mean, the song is now a top 20 hit. It moves into the top 20 this week. Obviously, their biggest hit so far. It's a different look for them than what they've released previously as singles. Much more rhythmic. People seem to have really latched onto this song. Again, I don't know if it's going to...
You're not sure if it's worth putting in the top five, but you think it's worth putting as a runner-up.
Ah, pun intended, sir. I think that this song, it's going to be interesting. I think it's definitely going to... I shouldn't say definitely, but I have a feeling it's going to be like a top 10 hit, maybe in the top five. I'm not sure it's going to be number one. It's just because maybe the track record, because we just haven't seen like a girl group song reach that level in a very long time.
That's a good question. I wonder what the last girl group was to reach the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Destiny's Child. Oh, no, probably Pussycat Dolls, right?
Oh, really? No. There's got to have been something. That's something we can research for next week. I think that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so... We'll see. I mean, the song's doing really well. We've been waiting for Fifth Harmony to have a crossover hit. It seems like Worth It is finally that. So that's my honorable mention. All right, man. We are now in the top five, our top five list. Bum, bum, bum. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I'll go first. Number five is, for me, David Guetta featuring Nicki Minaj, Hey Mama. It's getting off to a great start. It's still a fairly young song in terms of airplay. I think it's only like maybe been on our airplay chart for the past like 6 weeks. It's still gaining. The video, I think, just premiered a day or two ago, I believe. Yesterday, maybe, or the day before. So I think we're right in the thick of it. Even though Nicki has her own competing single, The Night Is Still Young, I think that this is going to have some life because, you know, when you combine David Guetta and Nicki Minaj together, good things happen. See, Turn It On or Turn Me On. So that was my number five, David Guetta and Nicki Minaj, Hey Mama.
Spoiler alert, I do not have Hey Mama on my list.
Oh, no.
I know. I almost put it as an honorable mention. I think... I don't really know. I don't really know what to think of this song.
Well, that's why it's not in your top five.
No, it's funny because it's in the top 20. I totally agree with everything you said in terms of Nicki plus Guetta, and it checks a lot of boxes. I don't know. Like, I just don't really know how to feel about this song. Not from a personal standpoint, but I'm just saying from, like, if I think it's going to be a hit. I think it's obviously a hit right now. I don't know if it's going to be a smash, but you may very well be correct, man. So my number five is Bad Blood by Taylor Swift. We talked about it a couple minutes ago in terms of re-entering the Hot 100. I just think that this is the perfect song for Taylor Swift to promote this summer. She's going to be on tour. She's given it a splashy look with music video. It's probably going to amp up its radio push. And I just think that if you look at what Shake It Off and Blank Space did, and even Style, I mean, Style wasn't a number one hit. It wasn't as big as those two the first two singles from 1989, but it was still a huge hit. So I'm kind of betting on the Taylor Swift track record. I think Bad Blood is going to get there for sure.
Alrighty. Number four for me is a song you've already talked about, Jason Derulo, Want to Want Me. So clearly I think it's going to have slightly more legs than you do, but I don't need to belabor the point too much because we've already talked about Jason Derulo. So that's my number four pick, is Jason Derulo's Want to Want Me.
Where is it at right now on the Hot 100? I'm putting you on the spot.
No, you're fine. I've got the chart in front of me. I need to scroll up. It's it goes 8 to 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 this week.
Yeah, I mean, and I talked about it as an honorable mention. I think that it makes a lot of sense. I know that Gary Trust, your chart colleague, your co-chart expert,
co-director of charts, by the way,
co-director of charts, now had it at number two on his list. His list is on Billboard.com right now. It came out last week. We'll link to it in the post for this podcast. But yeah, I think that it definitely has a shot. I don't know if it's going to be that smash. I think it's a hit. I'm not sure it's going to be a smash.
Well, then what's your number three?
My number four.
Oh, your number four. Oh, you have to do your four now.
Yeah,
sorry.
So Bad Blow is my number five.
I'm just trying to barrel along. Like, what's your number two? Come on.
Mine is more bold predictions, I guess, because I'm sure this is going to be in your top three, but I have Wiz Khalifa featuring Charlie Puth. See You Again at number four. It's still number one for a sixth week right now. By a wide margin, and I think that here's the thing about See You Again. It's obviously just because it's starting the summer with such a head start.
Right.
It's going to be in the top five for sure. Here's the thing. I think that this is the type of song where once it leaves number one, it's not going to hang around the top five like Uptown Funk is doing right now, where people are still enjoying it. I think that once it leaves the top, the number one slot, I think it's just, and Furious 7 disappears from theaters, I just think it's going to drop. And that's the thing. I can't imagine this song still lingering around the top five, the top 10 in July and August. Yeah. So I think that even though it's right now, I mean, the smart money's on See You Again. I just don't know if it's going to last that much longer. Even if it lasts another like 3, 4, 5 weeks at number one, I just think it'll drop like a stone.
Okay, all right.
Number three. Number three for you, man.
Number three. It's something you already talked about. Taylor Swift, Bad Blood.
Oh, I. What's funny is I thought by putting Bad Blood in the top five, I was like, oh, that's kind of, you know, it's not even a top 40 hit yet. So
I know. I'm just taking a wild leap here with it's Taylor Swift. It's, you know, it's just Taylor, and it could be a big song, or it could just be like a big song for the next 3 weeks. I don't know. But I'm gonna wild guesses here and suggest that Bad Blood could have a really good summer, especially in light of the remix with Kendrick Lamar and the Toxic meets Alias meets Tron video. Those are my notes to Jason. Taylor is number three with Bad Blood on my list.
I mean, it just seems like this video is going to be watched over and over and over by both Taylor fans and people who might have missed it on the Billboard Music Awards. It just seems like there's so many people in it that everyone's going to want to see this video multiple times.
Hopefully.
So.
I mean, that's what Taylor's hoping.
Indeed. So, Keith, my number three song of the summer, my bold prediction. This is another Jason bold prediction. I should get that trademarked. I have Jack U featuring Justin Bieber, Where Are You Now?
That's
my
a pretty bold
three.
Prediction.
Yeah. You know, I just think that this song is going to explode at some point, and the music video has yet to be released. I think maybe that might be the catalyst. I think maybe if it's performed on national television in some form or fashion, it just seems like it's already doing really well. And
it's not even
already
on the Hot 100.
It's not on. Sure, it is.
Really?
Where Are You Now? Where Are You Now by Skrillex and Diplo and
Oh, I'm sorry, because I was looking for Jack U, and it's credited to Skrillex and Diplo featuring.
Yeah,
I think of
it as Jack U because it's Skrillex and
it's on the Jack U album.
Jack U is Skrillex and Diplo.
It's number 22.
Number 22 on the Hot 100 right now. Again, without its music video, I just feel like this summer or this song is going to rule this summer. You've seen a lot of these kind of downbeat dance songs do really well. If you think of something like Mr. Prob's Wave, if you think of Prayer and Sea, and then you have these three huge names attached to it, Skrillex, Diplo, Justin Bieber. And it's just a great song. I think that even people who are not inclined to love Justin Bieber are admitting that this song's great. And I just think it sounds like a surefire top 10 hit to me. And it has yet to get there, but I think it's on its way, man. And that's my number three pick.
Alrighty.
Do you think that's a little too outlandish?
I do.
Okay. All right.
That's just me, though.
Okay.
That's why I didn't put it
What's great is that we're going to have this podcast up, and we'll see if I'm an idiot at the end of the summer or if I'm a genius.
Well, Vegas, I've realized that Jason is a big gambler, man.
Yeah, I am.
He's basically Kenny Rogers as the gambler live. So yeah, he's all about like, oh, we're going to see how this turns out. We're going to put some money on it. I'm like, no, we're not. Is it number two now for me? Is that what I'm doing?
Number two for you. Yeah.
Number two for me is Maroon 5. This summer's going to hurt like a mother.
That's a bold prediction for
me. Well, it's Maroon. It's debuting this week on the Hot 100. Maroon 5 has had an incredible track record. And the last time they sort of put out like a random single that wasn't attached to an album, you know, that wasn't on an album initially, was Moves Like Jagger. So I'm thinking this could be, in theory, what they're hoping is that it could turn into a Moves Like Jagger kind of moment where they have this big summer anthem. And it is catchy. And it's got sort of these, you know, the explicitness of it, which is helping, you know, tantalize and titillate people. It's only explicit in that they say, you know, mother trucker. It's not like it's, you know, nasty freestyle dirty. It's the typical explicit. So yeah, that's why it's number two on my list, because I mean, come on, it's Maroon 5.
It'll be interesting, man. I mean, you're certainly like I talked about with Taylor Swift, you're betting on the Maroon 5 track record and saying, hey, if their last, you know, X amount of singles
have all gone like top five. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that this is probably having a good shot too, and they usually hang out for a million years on the chart because that Sugar song hasn't gone anywhere yet. It's still in the top 10. So, you know, when you think of it that way, I'm like, Maroon 5, 18 weeks in the chart with Sugar, it is still in the top 10. It just makes me think that, you know, whatever song they put out is probably going to have a very sustained long life on the radio, which certainly helps its chart fortunes as well on the Billboard Hot 100.
I mean, we don't really talk too extensively about Maroon 5 on this podcast. We kind of are like, yeah, Sugar is in the top 10. Yeah, Maps in the top 10.
So we did kind of rant about how the Maroon 5 album is effectively an Adam Levine solo project.
Yeah, we did.
Because we're not sure how much of the band of Maroon 5 is really on that album.
It's so funny because he performed a Maroon 5 song on the Grammys with Gwen Stefani. But as a solo artist, it was a Maroon 5 song, but the rest of Maroon 5 wasn't there. Anyway, but yeah, I was going to say we don't really talk about them too extensively, but man, there's no other group doing what they're doing right now in terms of just Hot 100 success. And you know, they're obviously not like a rock group anymore, they're a pop group, and you're right that they may very well be just Adam Levine, but even so, they present themselves as a group and they keep scoring these huge hits.
Yep.
All right, so my number two, Keith, and a song that I fear, I don't know what your number one is, but I fear this might not be your number one, and might not be on your list at all, but is my number two is Trap Queen by Fetty Wap. It's that number two right now.
Yeah, it's not on my list.
I know, man. And you don't believe in Fetty?
No, I don't. I don't not believe in Fetty.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. We all believe in Fetty. But I think that this song is going to be the number two song of the summer. I think that the remix with Gucci Mane and Quavo just came out. I think there's going to be more remixes to this song. I think there's going to be more high-profile remixes to this song. I'm not basing that on any knowledge that I have. I just, if I were to take a guess, everyone loves this song in terms of, you know, hip-hop fans, in terms of pop fans.
Also, it's number two, like, on the Billboard Hot 100. So yeah, it's primed for, like, a really good, you know, sustained chart run if it can continue the momentum. Then it's in a good spot because it's already high up on the chart, so it's off to a good start, you know, at the beginning of the sort of summer season.
And that's the thing, is that I think that it is primed for a long chart run. And maybe it never hits number one. I know See You Again is pretty far ahead of it right now. But I have a feeling that this is the type of song that's going to linger in the top five for another good 2 months, at least. It just seems like so many people are in love with this song. I know he performed it with the Roots on Fallon, but I feel like he's going to have a prime time placement somewhere in the next couple months because people are finally catching on to how popular this song is. And yeah, it just seems like the kind of summer anthem that'll endure. And I know it's a weird song. It's not many hip hop songs are the number one song of the summer, at least in recent memory, but I think it's gonna endure. I do.
Hate to disappoint you, but Fetty Wap is not my number one.
I know. I figured, but
yeah, my number one. Wait, it's,
bum bum bum.
Because you just gave your number one, right?
No, that was my number two.
Oh, so I guess my number one. Okay, here we go.
Bum bum bum.
Wiz Khalifa featuring Charlie Puth.
All right.
See You Again. It's just off to such a robust start that, you know, I feel like it's going to be number one probably for the next few weeks, and then it'll probably linger. I don't think it's going to drop like a hot rock or like an anvil off of the side of a cliff like Jason was suggesting. That is entirely possible, though. I mean, that's the gamble that we're taking here with this song, but the hope is that it'll transcend and just become a song that is about remembering a friend or remembering a lost one and not just remembering Paul Walker. And I think that's what it's starting to do. I think it's just starting to become, you know, sort of a moment for people to sort of fondly remember someone, much in the same way like a song like One Sweet Day by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men, wasn't intended to be about one person, and it can be sort of a universal sort of I remember you type song. And I think that's maybe what they're hoping, or what the hope could be for See You Again, where it's a song that transcends its initial meaning. So perhaps it could have a longer run. And the fact that it's number one right now means it's off to a good start in terms of just the math, the pure math of our songs, the summer chart.
Yeah, I agree with you. If it can reach that point where it's not just the Paul Walker tribute, and to a lot of people, it is at that point, but I guess on the collective consciousness, I feel like it's still tied to Furious 7 too intrinsically to really break free of that. And I mean, like you said, just looking at the math, it's the clear favorite right now. I guess we'll see. That's why this is a prediction show. So my number one, Keith.
Jason.
Is my boldest prediction yet.
I know more bold than Skrillex and Justin Bieber?
I think so. I mean, maybe. You never know.
Let me guess. Is it The Weeknd earned it, 50 Shades of Grey?
No.
Uptown Funk? Uptown Funk. Is that going to be the song of the summer?
It's coming back. No. My song of the summer, which I wrote about last week, and this is my prediction, and I might be crazy. I might not be crazy. Number one is, for me, is Omi, Cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And it's a song that has been just rocketing up the Hot 100. It jumps another 16 spots, I believe, this week from 47 to 31. And this is a song that just, it's like the perfect storm to me, and that's why I have it at number one. I feel like it was for those who are not familiar with Cheerleader, it's a song originally released in 2012 by a Jamaican artist named Omi. It was a hit in Jamaica, and then in 2014, the producer Felix John got a hold of it, and why he remixed this song that was 2 years old, I'm not sure, but he did, and it was a hit with the remix, as his edit was a hit in Europe and Australia. It is currently, I'm not sure if it's number one still, but as of last week, it was number one in the UK, ahead of See You Again. And so it was a hit, an international hit that's finally making its way to the US. It's been rocketing up the Hot 100 every week. And I don't know, man. It's just you listen to this song once and you get that feeling where it's like, all right, this is the song of the summer. It's so damn catchy. It it's been in my head for like the last week and a half. It's crazy how catchy this song is. And you see the track record where, and you talked about this a little bit, where reggae songs always kind of do well. UB40 to Sean Kingston to last year with Rude and Magic. And here's the other thing I wrote about is that I feel like this is a weird thing to say, but I feel like the Song of the Summer has to have, or it helps that it, when it has a little bit of controversy. You look at, you know, Iggy Azalea was kind of a lightning rod last year with Fancy. 2 years ago, obviously, Blurred Lines. And I feel like once people get hip to this song, they're going to be talking a lot about the lyrics, which are positive on the outset. But then if you listen to them, it's a little bit like the gender roles. Like, it's basically a song like, I'm not leaving my girl because she roots for me. So I think some people are going to have a problem with that, but it's going to help the song in the long run. I just, everything about this song just screams Song of the Summer to me. That's my number one pick.
All righty.
So what's the bolder prediction? Do you think, where are you now at number three, or Cheerleader at number one?
The Justin Bieber track at number
three. Okay. So you realistically think, I mean, you had it as an honorable mention.
Yeah.
But you think Cheerleader does have that shot?
Oh, I do. And you know, some of the celebrities that we asked on the red carpet at the Billboard Music Awards name-checked Omi. So I think it definitely has that kind of right vibe, and also it doesn't have the Justin Bieber baggage attached to it. I just wasn't, you know, when I put this list together, I wasn't entirely, you know, super convinced of how it could possibly beat Maroon 5 and Taylor Swift, you know, and people like that. And I'm like, well, let me just go with, you know, what I think might be the sure bets, you know, the A-list superstars that have sort of, you know, hits under their belt, as opposed to the question mark of someone that no one's ever heard of. But, you know, that can also help you, because look at in the past, Gautier is somebody that I used to know, Magic, Meghan Trainor come out of the blue with All About That Bass. You know, these random artists that come out of the blue and have these breakthrough hits, because they have no history, because that's the beauty of, you get to learn about someone and there's a blank slate. And yeah, so that could work in Omi's favor. Who knows? And that's the beauty of Songs in the Summer. You just don't know what's going to be the song of the summer.
It's true, man. So for those that are listening to this podcast, what do you think is going to be the song of the summer? Hit us up on Twitter and leave a comment in the podcast post on
Twitter. Is there a hashtag for that? Hashtag song of the summer, hashtag pop shop, hashtag, because we need something.
No hashtag.
We need to pimp something.
You want to make a hashtag? You want to make pop shop SOS?
Pop shop hashtag SOS. That's cute.
Song of summer.
Yeah, all right. Do that. If you're listening, and you want to do that, why don't you tweet us? You can tweet at Billboard, hashtag pop shop SOS.
I like it. Yeah, hashtag pop shop SOS to tell us what you think will be the song of the summer on Twitter. Keith, we got to wrap this up, man. But before we do, it's time for your chart stat of the week.
Hey. So, kind of keeping it relatively recent, this week in 2011, see, it wasn't that long ago, May 21st, 2011, Adele's Rolling in the Deep hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. It was Adele's first number one single, first of three number one singles, actually, from her blockbuster album titled 21. She also hit the top with Set Fire to the Rain, as well as Someone Like You. So she had three number ones, all from one album. And of course, that album has gone on to sell a gajillion copies. Actually, more specifically, it has sold 11.1 million copies in the United States, according to Nielsen Music. That makes it the 11th biggest selling album of the entire Nielsen era, which began in 1991 when the company started tracking sales. And it is probably going to become the 10th biggest here sometime before the end of the year, because it is creeping up on NSYNC's No Strings Attached, which is the 10th biggest selling album of that entire Nielsen era. I know that will be a very big deal on Billboard.com when Adele bumps NSYNC out of the number 10 slot. Also, fun fact, this week Adele's 21 is still on the Billboard 200 chart. It has been on the chart for more than, I think, 200 weeks. And it is also in its 190th week in the top 100 of the chart, which is really crazy, if you think about it. The album has never left the chart, and it continues to sell well. And, you know, we hope that there's a new Adele album on the way.
It's been a minute since we've gotten an update.
It's been a minute. I mean, the last thing we heard was last fall when XL Recordings, which is her label, released a financial statement saying something along the lines of, you know, there will not be any new Adele album in 2014, which made everyone think, okay, so maybe next year will be it. So we're still waiting, but she's pretty quiet about this sort of thing, and hopefully we'll get a new album before the end of the year from Adele. That said, this week in 2011, Adele's Rolling in the Deep hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Boom. Thank you, Keith, as always, for your chart set of the week. All right, man, that is going to do it for us at the Pop Shop Podcast this week. Thanks again for your rousing Song of the Summer predictions, Keith. And we'll be back next week, same time as usual. We actually have a fun guest next week. We have Bea Miller, the rising star on Hollywood Records. She stopped by for a very interesting chat. Can't wait to post that. Keith, do you have any parting words?
I do not.
All right, man. Let's go out on last year's Song of the Summer. This is Iggy Azalea Fancy. Thanks for listening, and take care. So fancy, you already know
I'm in the fast lane. From LA to Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.